I have entitled this message, The Gospel. Now, every message could be entitled The Gospel if the gospel's preached. And if it can't be titled The Gospel, it ought not to have been preached in the first place. But I have a reason for entitling this message The Gospel, because God the Holy Spirit says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, that these words are the gospel. The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen by faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that is what God the Holy Spirit calls the gospel. And this is the story of God calling Abraham. Look in verse 1 of chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, how many of us have just pictured in our mind God speaking to Abraham, him getting up, being really much of a risk taker, and just in obedience to God's command, he starts walking, not knowing where he's going. And you're thinking, could I have done that? Well, if God commanded you to, you can. But I want us to consider just a few things about Abraham's obedience. Notice it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. He had said. And Abram doesn't obey until verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. But do you know, God said, leave your family, leave your relatives, leave your kin. And he didn't do that. He brought Lot with him, and he brought his father Terah with him. That's pointed out in Acts chapter 7. And instead of going straight into the land of promise, the land of Canaan, he took a 5-year bypass about halfway between in the land of Haran. And he stayed there until his father died. Now, one of the things that lets me know and reminds me of, it's just scriptural. It's scriptural. There's always holes in our obedience. There was with Abraham. And the only way I'm going to be saved is because of the perfect obedience of Christ. And the only way Abraham could be saved is because of the perfect obedience of Christ. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, and Abraham didn't do it exactly as the Lord said just yet. He first took the relatives that the Lord told him not to take. And I imagine that's why he stayed in Haran for so long. He stayed in Haran until his dad died. And I suppose that his dad didn't want to go any further. And the family ties were hard on him. And he just stayed right there. And didn't leave till some 5 years afterwards, when he went into the land of Canaan. Now, once again, there are always holes in our obedience. Isn't that the case with you? Well, you know it is. Thank God that salvation is according to Christ's obedience and because of Christ's precious blood. Abraham, like you and I are, was a weak and sinful man. As a matter of fact, you go on at the end of this chapter. God had promised him the seed, the promised seed, the Messiah is going to come through you. He gets down into Egypt and he looks at his beautiful wife, Sarah, and he said, they're going to kill me and take you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell them. I want you to lie to them. This was premeditated. I want you to lie to them. I want you to tell them you're my sister. And that way, that'll save my skin. And he had his own wife placed in a harem of Pharaoh in order to save his skin And can you imagine how he must have felt when he'd wake up in the morning and see an empty bed, knowing that his wife was in Pharaoh's harem, and it was all his fault. Now, Abraham, it's kind of funny, I read an article in the paper this morning, and it was about the Pope getting together with the cleric of the Muslims or something like that. They pointed out that Abraham is revered by the Muslims, by the Jews, and by the Christians. Abraham was a sinful, weak man, just like you and I are, that God called out by his grace. As a matter of fact, Joshua points out in Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, that Abraham was an idolater before God called him. He was worshiping false gods before God called him out. And we read in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1, where God said, I called Abraham alone. It is apparent that after the flood, human nature didn't get any better. It was just as bad. Things were just as bad. You know, judgment, God's judgments never improve anything as far as our natures go. And at the time, it seems like there wasn't one person on earth that worshiped God. And God said, I called Abraham out alone. And do you know that if you worship God, God's called you out alone. It's his effectual call, no different than him calling Abraham. He called you alone. Not in a group, not in a mass. He called you alone. He dealt with you alone and made himself known to you. Now, when he called him out, he made a covenant. Let's go on reading. Chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. God said it, and it was so. Abraham departed, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He told him to depart, he departed. God said it, and it was so. How many times do we read that in the creation account? God said it, and it was so. God told Abraham to depart, and he departed. Now, there was some winding along the way. And you know, I'm thankful for that revelation. I really am. I'm not in any way excusing anything. But, I mean, the only thing that is acceptable is immediate obedience. But when is there ever in our obedience not holes? Just like in Abraham. He settled in with his daddy Terah in the land of Haran for 5 years. Before he went ahead and got into the land of Canaan. Well, here's God's promise. Get thee out from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, this is given to illustrate to us the covenant of grace. God says, get out, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. That's what he says to Christ. Christ had to leave his home and come down here to this earth. And he made of Christ a great nation. Now, what is a covenant? This is the covenant. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, that is a covenant. What's a covenant? Well, marriage is a covenant. Two people agree to be with each other until death alone will part them. covenant. A last will and testament is a covenant. That's a covenant that we know of. The person who's dying, this is my will, that my goods will go in this direction. This is who I want them to go to. That's a last will and testament. Now, there's two covenants in the scripture. The covenant God made with Adam in the garden, don't eat of the fruit. It's what's called a conditional covenant. If Adam would have obeyed and not eaten the fruit, he would have lived forever. But this covenant was conditioned upon Adam's obedience. And any condition, any covenant that's conditioned upon human obedience is sure for failure. It's sure. Now, the covenant of grace is conditioned upon Christ's obedience. And just as the other was sure for failure, this covenant is sure for success. Now, here are five scriptural words that describe this covenant we're speaking of that is illustrated in this passage of Scripture. Now remember, this covenant God made with Adam for the nation of Israel is given to illustrate and picture the covenant God made with Christ for the elect and with the elect. God doesn't have two programs, one for Israel and one for Christians. No, all Israel is for is to teach us of God's covenant with Christ and those in Him. Now, let me give you five words that describe this covenant. First, it's called an eternal covenant, an everlasting covenant. You know what that means? Whatever this covenant is, it's always been. God made it with Christ before the foundation of the world. And that means there was never a time when the covenant was made. I don't understand this. I don't understand eternity. But there's nothing before this. There's nothing before this. It's always been. Christ has always been the surety of this eternal covenant. And remember, everything God does is eternal. That's who He is. It's an eternal covenant. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. The second word that is used to describe this covenant is a covenant of life. Malachi 2:5. Everything that has to do with life before God is included in this covenant. The life of God in the soul, life before God, spiritual life, eternal life, is all included in this covenant. This covenant is also called, in Isaiah 54:10, a covenant of peace. Oh, the peace of this covenant. God's at peace with me. God's not mad at me. God's not looking for anything else out of me. God is completely satisfied with everybody in the covenant. Peace. And you know, the only peace that any child of God has is to see that God's at peace with them for Christ's sake. And nothing else is needed. If you put anything else in there, I lose my peace. I'm upset. I don't know what I'm going to do. But oh, this is a covenant of peace. The peace Christ made in behalf of His people. And this covenant is also called, and I like this, the new covenant. It's always new. It's always fresh. It's always powerful. It's the new and the living way. New as opposed to the old. And when, I love this. The new covenant's a whole lot older than the old covenant is. The new covenant is the eternal covenant. And it always comes as news to a sinner. Now, if you're not hearing the gospel as news, you're not hearing the gospel as a sinner. But if you're hearing the gospel as a sinner, it comes as good news to you. And this covenant is always new. And I love what the writer to the Hebrew calls it. He calls it the better covenant. What's better? Works or grace? That's a no-brainer. To every believer, grace is infinitely better than works. Now, in Acts chapter 7, 2, when Stephen speaks of us this, he says, the God of glory appeared to Abraham. It just says here in our text, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, but this was actually a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself appeared to Abraham, and there's two things he tells him to do. He says, cut off your association with the flesh and go to a place I tell you. Cut off any association of salvation accomplished by this flesh. Forsake the flesh. Forsake your family. Forsake man. Cut it off. Leave this and go to a place I tell you of. And that place is Christ Jesus. He is the place of God's blessings. He tells us where to leave, and he tells us where to go. He is the promised land. By faith, Abraham, who was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Don't you love the way the New Testament talks about the Old Testament events? If you read the Old Testament accounts, I can show so many examples of this. By faith, Moses feared not the wrath of the king and so on, but he was scared to death, fled Egypt, hid a body that he'd murdered in the sand and took off. But the Bible doesn't talk about life. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she was herded that she feared. But if you read the Old Testament account, she laughed when the Lord said that. She didn't believe. And then you can go on and on with all these examples in the Scripture. The New Testament account is always better than the Old Testament account, but it's the real account. It's the truth. That other stuff was just the flesh. It's the truth. By faith, Moses, when he was called, went out. He obeyed. Now here is the I will and you shall of this covenant, and that's what I love about God's covenant. I will. Not I will if. Not I will if you do this, or if you stop doing that, or if you start doing this. No. I will, and you shall. That's the way God's covenant works. I will, and you shall. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. I curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now he names seven blessings in those two verses of Scripture. I'll make of thee a great nation. Now, he didn't have any descendants at this time. He didn't have any children. But he said, I will make of thee a great nation. He says, I will bless thee. Oh, God's power to bless. Don't you want God's blessing? I want him to bless me. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and indeed Abraham's name is great, but we know it's because it pictures the greater name of the greater one. He says, you shall be a blessing. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee. Fifth, sixth, I'm going to curse them that curse thee. And seventh, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, Jew and Gentile. And Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 calls this the gospel. You know, the Lord's purpose has always been to save Jew and Gentile. And we find this in this passage of Scripture. Now, Abraham is a type of Christ, and Abraham is a type of the believer. And we're going to consider Abraham in both of those lights. They're both true. First, Abraham is a type of Christ. It's a picture. We can learn more of Christ through looking at Abraham. And Abraham as a type of the believer. Now, God made a covenant with Abraham that he would have many descendants as the stars of the sky, as the sand of the seashore. God made a covenant that he would have many descendants. And God made a covenant with his son that he would have many children. He speaks of all the Father giveth me. He doesn't just say that the few the Father gives me. He says all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And his bride, his brethren, his body, his church, his children, his people, his sheep, these are the people the Father gave him. He said in John chapter 17, verse 9, and this is so remarkably plain. He said, I pray for them. Boy, I want to be in that group, don't you? I pray for them. Oh, I want the Lord praying for me. I want you praying for me. Believe me, I want you praying for me. You know somebody I want more praying for me? The Lord. You feel that same way, too. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. Abraham had to leave home. Christ had to leave his heavenly glory. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, he humbled himself. He left his home. I don't know how else to say that. The presence of his father. The presence of the praise of angels. Perfect delight. He left all that to come to this earth. God was manifest in the flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now think about that. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, left that and became flesh. And in the flesh, as a representative man, he kept God's law perfectly for somebody else. He didn't just do it for himself. If he just did it for himself and went back to heaven, it wouldn't do me and you any good. He said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And that us includes every one of God's elect. He fulfilled all righteousness, and in the flesh he took the sins of his people on, bore them all in his own body on the tree. Every individual sin, think of the weight of that. Every individual sin you've ever committed, if you're one of his, think of the millions of people that no number can describe the weight of the sins that he bore in his own body on Calvary's tree. He suffered the full equivalent of an eternal hell, and God said, I'm satisfied. He put away those sins in the flesh. He had to leave heaven and come in the flesh. He kept the law in the flesh. He put away those sins in the flesh, and now they are no. When he said, it is finished, all my sin was blotted out, having made peace by the blood of the cross. Now look what he says in verse 2. He says, I will make of thee a great nation. Now God made a great nation, the nation of Israel, but that's talking about the greater nation. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 28 and 29, listen to the scripture real carefully. This is very important. Paul says, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. He's not a Jew. Somebody says, I can trace my lineage back to Abraham. That doesn't make you a Jew. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Somebody says, I've been circumcised. Not necessarily. That outward circumcision is not circumcision. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, whose circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Every one of these people actually has the praise of God. You see, they're his work. He did it all. And he praises what he does. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this chosen nation is Israel, the true Israel. All of God's elect. Turn with me for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter says in verse 9, but you, he's speaking to every believer, But you are a chosen generation, the elect of God, a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. He hath made us unto our God kings and priests. You are an holy nation. Every believer, holy, got a holy nature. A peculiar people. Now, that doesn't mean strange, although a lot of God's people are strange. Well, you know that, and I know that, but that's not what that's talking about. This same word is translated in Ephesians chapter 1, a purchased possession. You are a purchased people, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's why, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now He says to Abraham, I will bless thee. And this typifies God's favor toward His Son. Oh, how blessed His Son is. The blessed and only potentate, the Lord of lords and King of kings. What blessing and favor God has toward His Son. And He said, I'll make thy name great. Well, God has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Things in earth, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, how great He's made His name. That's the name we call on. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is His name. And He says, and thou shalt be a blessing. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every blessing God has to give, every believer possesses, because they're all in Christ. Now listen to me. You cannot be any more blessed than you are. That's how good it is. May God give you grace to believe that. May He give me grace to believe that. I can't get any more saved. I can't get any more loved. I can't get any more accepted. I can't become more holy than I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a blessing. And look what verse 3 says. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Now, you know what that lets me know? God's view of me is seen in my view of His Son. If I see Him as the blessed one, God blesses me. If I see Christ as a cursed one, God's curse is on me. The way God sees me right now, the way God sees you right now, can be demonstrated by how you see His Son. You want to know what God thinks of you? What do you think of His Son? That answers that question. I will bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know, God's going to have a people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And all that blessing is in thee. In thee. If you're blessed, it's because you're in Him. And Paul says, that's the gospel. Is that gospel to you? That all God's blessing is in Christ and everything He has for you is in Christ and you're complete in Him. That's the gospel. That's what Paul called the gospel in Galatians chapter 3. Now, we see how He's a type of Christ, but He's also a type of the believer. You know, He is the Father of the faithful. The God of glory appeared to Abraham physically and spoke to him. He heard the word of the Lord. Isn't that where our experience begins as a believer? The word of the Lord, not just some man's opinion, but we hear the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And what did the Lord tell him to do? Cut off connection with the flesh. Cut it off. Now, we generally think of this as Abraham just saying, well, goodbye, everybody. I'm taking off in obedience to God's command. And I'm sure that that's certainly part of it, but that's really not the point. The point is repentance from dead works. You cut off all association with the flesh because salvation's of the Lord. Your flesh didn't have anything to do with your salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. You cut off. You get rid of. It's what the scripture, I repeat, calls repentance from dead works. Any work done before God gave you life is nothing more than a dead work. And you don't give your flesh any of the credit. Remember what Paul said, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice, glory in Christ Jesus. And what's the third thing? No confidence. No confidence in the flesh. You're to leave this place. That's what's called repentance. You're to leave this place, this connection with, this association with anything Adam. You're to leave that and you're to go unto a place. The place of God's favor. If any man be in Christ, that's the place. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And notice the wording of this. He says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. This is God's work, isn't it? He doesn't say me and you will cooperate in this. He doesn't say we're going to do this together. He says, I will make. Now, salvation is what the Lord does. I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. Once again, I love the way he says this. He doesn't say, I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee if you. You got to do this before this is going to take place. You know, if there's anything you need to do before God will bless you, you won't be blessed. You won't be saved. There's no salvation for you. If there's something you need to do before God does something for you, I need to fill in the blank. You won't be blessed. You're under the curse of God. I mean the curse. This is not God's blessing. I'll bless you if I will bless thee. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I will. Oh, the power of that statement. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And then he says to Abraham, I'll make thy name great. You know what your name is if you're a believer? Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's your name. This is the name wherewith she shall be called. Is that name great? Oh, my. This is the name wherewith he shall be called? Yes. But this is the name wherewith she shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. Talking about a great name. You know, I've tried to convince Aubrey that she ought to keep the name Nybert. Because if she doesn't keep the name Nybert, you know what? There ain't going to be no more Nyberts. That's the end. We're going to be, if the Lord doesn't come back, boy, in 100 years, what? I've never heard of that, you know. But I've got a name that will endure forever. The Lord, our righteousness. He's truly going to make every believer's name great, infinitely great. Look what he says next. He says, thou shalt be a blessing. And you know, every believer, isn't anybody that loves Christ a blessing to you? Anybody who has the name, the Lord, our righteousness, they're a blessing to you. You love that person. They're a blessing. I'll make you a blessing. And look what he says in verse 3. He says, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. Now I think of what the Lord said, inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. And inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. Now, God's blessing is on those who bless his son and his people, and his curse is on those who curse his people and curse his son. I will bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. Remember this. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is the gospel. In thee shall, not might, shall all families of the earth be blessed. And God the Holy Spirit calls that the gospel. Verse 4, so, I like this. So, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. Now he said, get away from them. But Lot went with him. So did his daddy Terah. And they stayed around for 5 years in the land of Haran. But the point is, by God's grace, according to God's timing, he did depart. And he did it because the Lord told him to do. And do you know, when he gives an effectual command, it's obeyed. Matthew, follow me. Could Matthew, under any circumstance, have said no? Don't think I'm going to do that. No. He has no choice. And what Abraham did, in the past, I thought, well, what a risk taker. I mean, here he is 75 years old and just start marching out, not knowing where he's going. And I mean, that's an old man doing that. And you admire the faith of it. And you think, well, could I do that? Well, if the Lord told you to, you would. And you could. And he calls upon every believer to leave every association with the flesh and look to Christ only. Leave your family and go to that place, that sure place, that safe place, that glorious place, Christ Jesus, that I will show you. And Abraham takes off. Now, the Lord willing, next week we're going to consider the experience of grace. We're going to consider Abraham's experience once he left. And we're going to observe the Lord's table now. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank you for the precious shed blood of thy Son, his broken body, broken by your law and justice and wrath in behalf of sinners. Lord, we ask that our hearts might be broken by a view of what he did for us. In Christ's name we pray.